I jokingly call Eli sometimes like my Hebrew antenna, because he'll say something and it'll just confirm what I was going to preach about. And that song couldn't be like a better setup, segue, preamble for what I'd like to talk to you about today. So if you have a Bible, if you need a Bible, just raise your hand up. If you need to borrow a Bible, just raise your hand and one of the guys will get you a Bible. Anybody need one to help themselves out? They're in the back. If anybody needs a Bible, raise your hand. And if you've got your Bible, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is where we'll start. We're good, Josh? John chapter 10. And I'm going to do a lot of looking at verses today. That's kind of our way. One, to keep you awake, and two, to kind of have you, you know, see the scriptures for yourself. I know sometimes people will like say a verse and then for an hour they're telling stories, but we don't like to do that. We like to talk about the Bible here, and not that other people don't, but John chapter 10, we'll start that at the beginning of that chapter again. I'm kind of stuck on that beginning of that chapter. And, you know, just think about this question. We just came through, you know, the shopping center of the year, and it was, of course, it was even more so the shopping, you know, delivery center of the year. And have you ever ordered something and the delivery was delayed or the package was lost? It's probably happened. It frustrates you, doesn't it? It discourages you and it causes you to doubt the reliability of the next delivery. Right? Right? But no matter what the circumstances may look like, God's got guaranteed delivery. Guaranteed delivery. Look at John chapter 10, verse 1. In John chapter 10, verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ is warning his nation about the coming Antichrist, that thief that he's saying is going to show up. He says in John 10, 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And so then in John chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus Christ points to himself. He says, by the way, I am the shepherd and bishop of your souls, Israel. And in John 10, 2, he says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He's speaking about himself as the deliverer of the nation. And then in verse number 3, Jesus Christ promises guaranteed delivery if they only follow his voice. See verse 3? To him the porter openeth, because Jesus opens doors, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And guys, I want to say this to encourage you. Today is not a message of reproof or rebuke. It's kind of to charge us up a little bit and to get us reminded about a lot of the things we said, that when God's people get their backs against the wall, God always delivers them. Right? I know it might look bleak in your personal life or your whatever life, but when God's people are following his voice, no matter what the circumstances look like, he always comes through. And if he's always come through in the past, and you could say amen if he has, if he's always come through in the past, the Lord will always deliver you today, and he'll deliver you tomorrow. So let's not fret. Let's not despair. Let's not worry too much. Don't lose faith in God's guaranteed delivery. No matter what the circumstances may look like, God's guaranteed delivery is right around the corner. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time. We pray, Lord, you'd be an encouragement to your people, Lord. I pray your Holy Spirit would just give your people faith to believe your promises and just give us understanding, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. We're going to look at this verse a couple of times. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to give you a little history lesson, and then we're going to try to make it applicable to us. 1 Corinthians 10. First thing I want to say is that we can learn from Israel's ensample to trust God's guaranteed delivery. Israel has shown us the way. Israel has shown us the pattern. And in 1 Corinthians 10, 11, Paul has just gotten through talking about some of Israel's exploits and failures. And he says in 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, our instruction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The Lord is saying, I gave you the Old Testament plight of Israel. He says, I recorded all the things they went through. You understand the things in the Bible are exactly what God wanted you to have in the Bible. So God recorded these exploits and these failures and these victories of this little nation called Israel, so you, right now, living in the last days, could learn from their pattern, learn from their model, learn from their example, or I should say, ensample. That's when you see a picture in God's Word. And if the shepherd always delivered his sheep in the past, we can trust Jesus Christ to deliver us today, can't we? Amen? Go to Genesis chapter 6. Let me show you some of these deliverances. And all of them are going to be like we sang through a flood. Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, we can see God's guaranteed delivery in God's picture of Noah's flood. Amen? Let's take a look at this. Genesis chapter 6, look at verse 5 and 7. The Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Sounds like 2021. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Can you imagine that? God was actually sorry. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God had seen the world, and the world had become so perverse and so wicked, God said enough. Amen? Just God was looking down, and can I tell you this? Don't ever think the Lord isn't watching. Don't ever think the Lord doesn't see. Don't ever think the Lord has turned a blind eye to iniquity. He's just waiting for iniquity to be full again, when he's had enough, and then he'll step out one more time. Don't despair. God's guaranteed delivery is right on schedule. It will not be lost. Luke 17 tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And when the world gets as twisted and as wicked and as perverse as it was back there before the flood, guess what? Jesus Christ is going to step out and right all the wrongs. He's just waiting for us to get there again. That iniquity hasn't quite reached full on the evil tank just yet. And in verse number 8, look at this. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, his family, his children. And Noah walked with God. The world was wicked, but God found one man whose family had not been polluted. When God looks down, could he find that in you? I don't care what they're doing out there. Do you know about this and about the guy who prayed in the name of a woman and all that nonsense and all that crazy stuff? Sometimes you just got to step back and say, all I can control is the little circle around my body. I can control me. I could try to help my family. I could try to be a blessing to my brethren. I could try to make a dent in my community and maybe some missionaries around the world. But I'm not going to get my underwear in a knot about every theory and every whisper and every shadow that comes down the pike. It's not good for you. It's raising your blood pressure. And dare I say, it's going to get you in some fights that are going to get you off track. So try to stay the course. And remember, all you got to be is faithful. All you got to be is righteous. The world can be burning. You can be a light. And Noah was that man. I hope we be that man. And if you go to verse number 17, look at 17. Look at 17. You know what God did with that one faithful man? The Lord promised to lead that faithful follower through the flood. He said, Noah, I'm not going to take it away from you, but I'm going to bring you through it. And in Genesis 6, verse 17, it says, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee,
will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. So God said, it's all going to die. It's all going to be destroyed. But you, you're going to be okay. You're going to make it. You're going to see it through. You're going to be all right. You're going to be delivered. You're going to be a rescue. And in Genesis chapter 8, I'm not going to read all these verses, but in Genesis 8, you see that the Lord led Noah, just like he said, into a brand new world on the earth. Amen? Just like he said, Genesis 8, down by verse 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. God opens up that door and Noah steps out and he is a part of a brand new world, a world that was to come, and he can start all over again and enjoy it. And he got the rainbow. He got the rainbow. And look at Isaiah chapter 54. You say, what is that all about? Why did God do it that way? Go to Isaiah chapter 54. You say, why is that a picture, Pat? Did it really happen? Yeah. Did the flood really happen? Uh-huh. You just look at the fossil record. There was a calamity. There was a catastrophe. You look at some of the rips in the earth and you say, man, something crazy happened to this planet maybe 4,400 years ago. That's pretty sure. But you know what it really was? The God's guaranteed delivery of Noah. You know what it was? It was a picture of Israel in the tribulation. That's what it really was a picture of. And in Isaiah 54, you look at verse 4, you know what God says to his nation Israel? The first two words are beautiful. Fear not. You're going to see that all over again every time God's people go through a flood. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called, for the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. You say, man, that's some tender talk to Israel. Why? Because Israel is Jehovah's bride. Israel is the Father's bride. Israel is the nation God promised the world to come. And in verse number 7, you know what he says? For a small moment have I hid my face from thee. For a moment, but with for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee in a little wrath. He's talking about the tribulation time to come. I hide my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this, the little trouble you go through, is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. Israel's going to go through the great tribulation as Noah went through the flood. And you know what Noah got on the other side? He got the rainbow. The rainbow's a picture of God's throne. He saw that rainbow come to earth, just like Israel is going to see God's kingdom come to earth, and they're going to enjoy the world to come, a brand new world where there's going to be righteousness and a righteous leader. He says, I'm not going to take the flood away, but I'm going to bring you through, and you're going to see my guaranteed delivery. And in verse 10, he says, for the mountain shall depart, and the hills shall be removed. Remember, Jesus told his disciples about that. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. You know what he's saying to his people? No matter how bad it looks, God's got guaranteed delivery. He says, the mountains may fall, the hills may melt, but don't worry, I'm going to have kindness on you. That encourages me, because if he could do that back then, he could do that today. If he did that for his nation, he'll do that for his church. Don't despair. Let me show you another one in Exodus 14. You're a little subdued, so let me try to rattle the spear a little bit. Exodus 14. Exodus 14 is a little more about God's guaranteed delivery. We see it in the flood. You know where else we're going to see it? We can learn more about God's guaranteed delivery from God's people. In Egypt's flood.
Another flood. All these floods. My. I wonder if God's trying to teach us something. And in Exodus chapter 14, verse 8, we're going to see that some people had believed God. Do you believe God? Amen? Amen. Some people in Exodus 14 had applied the blood of the Lamb. Have you applied the blood of the Lamb? Amen? Come on. Amen? Have you? You've washed your sins away. You put them on the doorpost of your heart. God put one here. He put it here. He put it here. Just like the three crosses on Calvary. 1, 2, and 3. That's why God said put the blood like that. Put it on this side. Put it on this side. And put this one just above it. Because that one who's going to die on that cross, he's above the other two thieves, though he was numbered with the transgressors. It's like God wrote the Bible. My. And Exodus chapter 14, verse 8, those believers who had applied the blood had their backs against the wall. And just because you're saved and love Jesus and sing the hymns doesn't mean you're not going to experience your back against the wall. And right there in Exodus 14, 8, we see it. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, man. What a victory. Oh, victory in Jesus. Verse 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They were like, why'd you take us here, Moses? Why, we're going to die. We should have died with the onions and the leeks in Egypt. And can I tell you this? Don't ever think the Lord is not watching over you. Don't ever think the Lord doesn't know where you're at. He's just waiting to show himself strong. In fact, if you look at the beginning of the chapter, Exodus 14, 1, you will notice that the God that gave them the lamb, the God that called them out of Egypt, the God that said, I will wash your sins away, the God that gave them the lamb led them to this spot. He led them to where their backs were against the wall. He led them to where they would be cornered and have nowhere to cry but up. And he did that to show them and show Egypt his glorious power. Exodus 14, 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. That is amazing. God has got you right where he wants you to be. If you're following God's voice, and nobody's perfect, but brethren, take comfort that if you're doing the best you can from God's word, you're going to church, you're praying as you can, you're singing the hymns, you're trying to love God, you're trying to love people, you're trying the best you can. I know nobody's perfect, but if you're trying the best you can, guess what? God has got you right where he wants you. And no matter how scary it looks, no matter how wild it looks, no matter what the circumstances may say, no matter what your eyes may tell you or your news feed may keep reminding you, keep trusting the Lord. Because God's got guaranteed delivery. God's going to come through just when he has to, and you're going to stand back and go, wow, that was only God. And you see it right there, Exodus 14, 13. And Moses said unto the people, same thing as in Isaiah, fear ye not. Don't be afraid, beloved. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. How about that? And ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. My goodness. You know what God says to you today? Go forward. He said, I'm in a jam, God. Keep going forward. Keep going forward, God. He said, I can't go forward. He says, yes, you can.
Take that step and you'll watch the waters part and you'll walk through on dry ground. Just keep going forward for God. Don't go backward to Egypt. Don't go backward to your old friends. Don't go backward to your old ways. Don't go backward to the pig pen. Keep going forward. He's right at the door, beloved. He's right behind the lattice. He's right there. Things may look very scary. You may lose this. You may lose that. And you may say, God, you keep going forward for God. And he's got guaranteed delivery. I don't know how he'll do it. But he's going to do it. He's going to do it. I think the last thing those Israelites thought was, split the Red Sea. Split the Red Sea. That's impossible. God says, exactly, ideal in the impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Right? And if you look at verse number 19, like the shepherd Jesus Christ said he was in John 10, the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus Christ, led them out. See Exodus 14, 19. And the angel of God, that's Jesus Christ, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between, notice this, it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Can I tell you this? The only guarantee of God's delivery is Jesus Christ. He is the difference between you and the enemy. Notice what he did? They're over here. Jesus says, I'm going to go over here. And he got right between Egypt and Israel. And Jesus Christ is the one that stands between the world and you, between the devil and you, between all that stuff that wants to take you down and you. He's the difference. He's the one that stands between. Like the old song says, the world's fierce winds are blowing. Temptations are sharp and keen. I have a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. And the name of that song is Never Alone. And if you belong to Jesus Christ, you are never, ever alone. He stands between you and all that the evil wants to do to you. He is the difference between you and Egypt, between you and Pharaoh. He's all you got, but he's all you need. And in verse number 8, notice this. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as in heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, notice how this sounds so much like Lucifer, right? I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You know what God did? God went like this. Thou didst blow at thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Can I tell you this right now? The enemy's roar may be within earshot. He may be saying, I'm going to take you down. You're no different. You're not going to be changed. Your life is going to be a wreck. I'm going to take your business. I'm going to take your family. I'm going to take your home. I'm going to take your joy. I'm going to take your victory. That's what he's doing. I'll overtake. That's what he's doing. He's riding that chariot feverishly, and he's whispering in your ear, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. But can I tell you, no matter how close, if you could feel his breath on your ear, can I tell you, God's delivery is guaranteed. You keep following Jesus Christ, and his delivery is guaranteed. Amen and amen. And one final one on this. Go to Jeremiah 46. So that encourages me, because I see God's guaranteed delivery in Noah's flood. I see God's guaranteed delivery in Egypt's flood. And if you go to Jeremiah 46, one more on this, and then we'll swing it around to us. We will watch, and I believe this as sure as I stand here talking to you. But we will watch God's guaranteed delivery when all of God's prophecies come true and he saves that nation again from a future flood. Jeremiah 46 is a prophecy of what will happen in the future. And it says in Jeremiah 46, verse 7, who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt riseth up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, sounds like Pharaoh, I will go up and will cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Come up, ye horses. This is God tempting them. Come up, ye horses, and rage, ye chariots, and let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans that handle the shield, and the Lydians that handle and bend the bow. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance. God says, you're going to come after my people again? You're going to do it again, devil? Guess what? Bring all your guns. Bring all your toughest guys. It's a day for me to finally get you back. And brethren, don't despair, because just like Pharaoh pursued Israel in the past, the God of this world is going to hunt her again. Look at Amos. Turn to the right a little bit. Amos chapter 8. Just going to show you some verses, just some quick hits here. Amos, Daniel, Joel, Amos. Look at Amos 8:8. Can I tell you, if it's true, right, if the pattern is true, Amos 8:8, that the same way God brought Israel through the Red Sea, he's going to deliver them again. And that's what it says here in Amos 8:8. It's talking about this future time when the land is going to be trembling and these enemies are going to be circling. And he says in Amos 8:8, shall not the land tremble for this? And everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall, meaning the trouble, it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. He says, just like I did him in the past, I'm going to do him again in the future.
Look at Revelation chapter 12. Go to the back of your Bible, Revelation 12. I know we look at a lot of verses, but I want you to see it. I want you to see it. So you know what? There's probably another 10 connections. There's probably another 10 verses I could give you just on the future flood being like Egypt flood. You go find them and you tell me about them. But I'm giving you just a few so you could see the truth. And then what you should be doing is you think, you pray, you process, you get your pencil, and you find your own cross references, and you build that doctrine a little bit. And in Revelation 12, it's speaking about the Antichrist. It's speaking about that thief. And you know what he's going to do in Revelation 12, verse 13? And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, and that woman is Israel, which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. That's the 3.5-year tribulation. A time, that's 1 year. Times, that's 2 year. And half a times, that's half a year. 3.5 years of tribulation that's coming on the earth. And he says right there, and the serpent, verse 15, cast out of his mouth water as a flood, as a flood, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The devil's going to pursue, and the devil's going to persecute God's nation, just like Pharaoh did right after Egypt. Can you picture it? Can you see that little nation, not much bigger than New Jersey, Israel, that little nation surrounded by her enemies? All these enemies stirred up and steered by Satan, provoked by the devil, all the nations turning against them. We see that rise of anti-Semitism even now in the world, and it's going to be growing more and more as the days come. And that hatred for Israel, that hatred for God's promises, that hatred of any kind of, you know, nation established there called Israel. I think Iran recently said that they want to wipe Israel out in the next few years. They set a date, Iran said. We're going to wipe Israel out in the next 4 or 6 years. Sorry. Ain't going to go down like that. And it says there, they're surrounded. Can you see them surrounded? Can you feel their fear? Could you imagine the fear in your own country? Can you feel the fear that they might sense and will sense of being overflown and overtaken when the sorrows of death compass them and the floods of ungodly men make them afraid? Can I tell you, don't ever think the Lord worries like you. Don't ever think the Lord is worried like you. He's just waiting to prove his words faithful. And when the devil casts out that flood and all those people surround him, what happens in verse 16? And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. It says, no matter how bad it looks,
on the outside, no matter how bad it looks to these eyes, God's delivery is guaranteed. God's delivery is guaranteed. Can you go to Isaiah 43? Can you go there, please? Isaiah 43. I'm trying to encourage you today. I'm going to get to you in a second. I'm just trying to show you in an exhaustive way that God always brings his people through a flood. Isaiah 43, verse 1, when they stay with him. Isaiah 43, verse 1 shows us, Isaiah 43, 1, that just like God got them through the former flood, Israel will be saved from the future flood. Isaiah 43, verse 1. We sang about this today. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. You see it again? Fear not. Fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What a promise. God says, I'm going to bring you through. You belong to me, and I'm going to bring you through. And can I tell you that that's what Jesus Christ was talking about in John chapter 10, when he said, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. That's exactly what he's talking about. In fact, if you go to Psalm chapter 23, can I tell you this? In Psalm 23, what we're talking about right now, Israel's deliverance from a future flood, can I tell you, that is the literal fulfillment of the most famous psalm in the Bible. You say, Psalm 23, it ain't just something that gives you a little buzz to make you feel good at a funeral. No, Psalm 23 is a prophecy that a shepherd is going to come and lead a nation through the valley of the shadow of death and into the promised land. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Can you imagine a nation saying that? Can you imagine a nation saying that when they turn to Jesus Christ and his face shines upon them and they're saved from their enemies? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, just like he promised in Isaiah, just like he promised everywhere. I'll be with you in the waters. I'll be with you in the valley. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, because they're all around me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, what a day that'll be when that literally, literally, literally comes to pass. And that day is coming soon, that they see that Jesus is the way, and Jesus is the shepherd, and Jesus is their hope. And he leads them, though the whole world wants to knock them off the face of the earth, he leads them through the valley of the shadow of death into the house of the Lord forever. The people which sat in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. That verse was about his first coming, and that verse is about his second coming. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. That's the day Israel sees God's guaranteed delivery. Amen and amen. That gets me excited. Because if God's got guaranteed delivery for Israel, then God's got guaranteed delivery for you. Amen. Go back to 1 Corinthians 10. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 10. Look at a few more here. A few more verses. 1 Corinthians 10. Look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. We read it before, but let's read it again. And let's start making it practical now. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, pictures, types, patterns, models, the way God works. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Guys, God did all that so you'd have something to look to right now. God did all that so you'd have some hope to cling to right now, right? The end of the world is upon us.
we're going to see God's deliverance. I mean, time is running out, isn't it? Amen. Do you not sense that? Time is running out. Our backs are against the wall. But God's guaranteed delivery is coming. God's guaranteed delivery is coming. You know why I know it? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. And you guys got to get some sea legs and start feeling it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Because the same God we saw work in the Old Testament is the same God who will deliver you in the New Testament. He says, you see my pattern? You see the way I roll? You see my MO? You see how I do things? I haven't changed. When it looks the bleakest, that's usually when I step out and deliver you. When it looks the worst, that's when I show up so you always know it's me. Amen. And that's how he works, people. God's guaranteed delivery. What did he say in Malachi? He said, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Go to Psalm 102. Let me show you another beautiful thing here. Psalm 102. I know we're doing a lot of flipping, but flip if you can. If I'm flipping too fast, don't flip out. Just sit tight and give an ear. Psalm 102. Look at what David says here in Psalm 102. He says in verse 24 of Psalm 102, he says, I said, oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. You ever look up at night? You ever go camping and look up? You see how big the sky is? You see how big space is? You can't measure it. Neither can you measure God. You can't count the stars, and you can't figure out everything God's doing. But you know it's there. You know, the world's got us like this, like animals. We're always looking down. We're always looking down. Looking at our phone, looking at our screen, looking at the world. You know what's good sometimes? To get out in nature, in the dark, sit there by the fire, and just look out and consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, and the stars which thou hast ordained. And then you know what's going to happen? You're going to start musing, and your heart's going to start burning. You're going to say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? It's good for you to look up there. I think the old folks used to look up at the stars a lot more, and they didn't get so flipped out over every little thing that comes down the pike because they saw how big the universe was out there and how big the God that put the universe out there must be. So you know what? Once in a while, it's good to lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. And David's doing that, and he says, all those things, the heavens are the work of thy hands, verse 25. He says in 26, they shall perish. But thou shalt endure. All of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. You know what the greatest thing about God is? The greatest thing about God is his consistency. The greatest thing about God is his constancy. Mike opened the meeting at the men's meeting on Friday night with Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen? He doesn't change. James 1:17 talks about the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's not going to one day say, oh, I'm not going to be merciful. I'm not going to be loving. I'm not going to be gracious. And brethren, can I encourage you by saying, if the Lord has always come through for his people, why worry that he won't deliver you? Amen. I mean, some of you play lotto with little to no chance of winning. I mean, those odds are terrible odds. I heard some guy in Walmart yesterday talking about Mega Millions. I don't know what it's up to. Please don't shout it out. You're going to out yourself. But you know what? Some people play lotto and they have little to no chance of winning. But they put their faith in that. Some people get a flu shot. And that's okay. That maybe works half the time if they guess right. And I'm not hating on flu shots, but we'll get our flu shot. And they're kind of like going like this. I think it's this strain. And they take a shot at it, literally and figuratively. But you know what? Why don't we trust the God of a book that has been delivered on his promises and come through every single time? Every promise in the book has come through exactly as it's been said, how it's said, where it's said, and some of us are afraid to lean upon those promises. And that's why we're nervous. That's why we're fretting. God says, I got guaranteed delivery. I just showed you my pattern. I showed you my end sample. Why are you flipping out? Whatever happens on January 20th, why are you flipping out? Why are you so uptight? I'm talking people off ledges left and right. Why are we so flipping out about this?
When did it change anything? It reveals that our faith was probably in the wrong stuff and the wrong person and the wrong plan. God says, hey, man, I got you. A.W. Tozer said it well. He said, nothing that God has ever said about himself will be modified. Nothing the inspired prophets and apostles have said about him will be rescinded. His immutability guarantees this. He's saying God is going to do it just like he said he was going to do it. Can you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please? 2 Corinthians 1. Just a few stops left. 2 Corinthians 1. I'm trying to encourage us all today. This was not the message I wanted to preach. And then Friday, I just got an audible from the Holy Spirit. It said, audible. And I said, oh, really? And he said, yep. And I said, okay. And I stared for a while and prayed. And then the Lord started giving me this. And I hope it's a blessing. But 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. Look at this. I'm in the wrong book, too. 2 Corinthians 1, 8. 2 Corinthians 1, 8. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 1, 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul's saying, I don't want to make you think that I never got scared. I don't want to make you think that I never was overwhelmed by what was going on around me. He goes, I was. I thought I was going to die. And verse 9, he says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, past tense, and doth deliver, present tense, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He's saying the God that guaranteed delivery for Israel is going to guarantee delivery for us. Can you look at the beginning of that verse? He says, who delivered us from so great a death. Can I ask you something? Did Jesus Christ save your soul? Amen. Did he take care of the worst thing that you'll ever have to deal with, sin? Did he do that? Did he change your life at all? Did he do anything for you in the past? Has he? Come on, shout it out. Has he? Amen? You can say amen. You can say amen. I'll tell you, if anybody else, I'll say, praise you, Jesus, because he saved my life. I'm a wretched, miserable human being without him. And I remember the day I got down on my knees and called on Jesus Christ, and my life was never, ever the same. Ever the same. And this book changed me. And the fellowship of the saints changed me. And church changed me. And Jesus Christ working through all those things changed me. He delivered me from so great a death. I'd probably be dead or in it with a disease if I didn't have Jesus Christ at this point. I believe it. He did that in the past. Well, let me ask you this, the middle of the verse. He doth deliver. He helping you out at all now? Does the blessed Savior ever help you out now? Amen. Ever help you out, be a good husband, a good wife, a good businessman, a good whatever, a good, you know, fiance? You ever help you be a good, is he help? Come on, you can say amen too. Does he help you now? Is he a source of refuge now when the winds of change hit you? Is he your rock now? Does he help you now? Sister Kim, just on the prayer meeting on Tuesday, she had to just praise God. She jumped on. I'm calling you out, sister. I know you didn't want me to, but you know, she just got on and said, I just got to praise the Lord. And it's good that you just praise the Lord. You should shout, lift the roof off. I don't care. Let the janitor come and say, what's going on in there? We're just having a praise meeting. Brother Matt Maeda said, you know, my nursing home ministry thing went a little long because I just started praising Jesus. And I said, how dare you praise Jesus for too long? We're going to be praising him for eternity for all the things he does. And he helps you now, doesn't he? Helps you overcome sin now, doesn't he? Helps you be a better man now, doesn't he? He's helped you, right? Has he helped you in the present since you've been saved? Amen? Well then, don't doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light. Because if he's helped you in the past and he's helped you in the present, verse C, the end of the verse says, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He's gonna got another deliverance coming that's gonna help us out. So why would we despair about the future? He's helped us in the past. He helps us in the present. And he's going to deliver us out of this hellhole in the coming days. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Go back there. Can I tell you, beloved? Can I encourage you, beloved? That every individual Christian in here can have God's guaranteed delivery. I didn't get any amens there, but because you don't believe it. But you can have God's guaranteed delivery right now. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 tells me that everybody can experience if you're saved right now. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I know the devil makes you think you're the only one going through what you're going through, but everybody else has gone through it too. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation. He may not take the flood away, but in the flood, with the temptation also, make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. He's saying, guys, no matter what the trial, no matter what the test, no matter what the temptation you're going through, God has an escape. God has an out. God has a way where there looks like there is no way. You know, when an architect builds a building, or an architect plans a building, they have to plan for exits when they design a building. And can I tell you, God is the mighty architect. He is ordering your life. And you know what he's got amidst all the troubles? He's got the exits planned for you. He's got them waiting for you. They're there if you're looking for them. But if the building is on fire and you don't take the exit, you may get burned, right? Not saying your whole soul's going to go to hell, but you might mess up something. Because when we see the trouble, we run back to our devices. We run back to our own ways. We run back to our friends. We throw the Bible out. We throw church out. Oh, I ain't got no time for that. I got to, what? Take the exit. Take the way out. Take the delivery method. It's going to be there. Just wait for it. It's going to be there. Just got to trust him and take that step. He said, I don't know what's on the other side of that door. I know what's there, deliverance. He said, my friends might, you want to be delivered or not? I don't know what, you want to be delivered or not? Take the step. Just, you. God's not promised you. Somebody said one time, faith isn't the ability to believe long and far into the misty future. It's simply taking God at his word and taking the next step. So when you're going through that valley and you feel overwhelmed and that voice behind you says, this is the way, walk ye in it, just take the step and see what God has for you. You may not know 10 steps down the road, but I know he'll get you out of that jam. Can you go to Galatians 1? Galatians 1. Now that's on the individual level. God will get you out of temptations. God will get you out of trials. God will get you out of testings. And every individual Christian can experience that deliverance. It's guaranteed if you take God's exit, his escape hatch. But let's talk corporately. Because someday soon, God's church, the whole church, if you're saved, say amen. Amen. You're in God's church. God's church is going to experience God's guaranteed delivery. All of us. We're all going to experience it. Galatians 1 verse 3 says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Has he done that for you? Amen? Amen. He did that for me. Why? That he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that exciting? That God saved you, not so you could just live a victorious life down here, so that one day when he heads out there, he's, oop, there's one of mine, there's one of mine, there's one of mine, there's one of mine, so that he knows who are his, and he's going to deliver you from this present evil world. And we like to put the emphasis on the evil, but I challenge you, put the emphasis on the deliver. He's going to deliver you from this present evil world. He's getting us out of here, guys. We're getting out of here. We're going to be with him like Eli said. We're going to see his face. Look at verse 4. He died to do that. Now think about that. If the Son of God died to deliver us, you think God's going to drop the ball on that promise? If his son shed his blood and got whipped and beaten so that he could secure that deliverance for you, you think he's going to punk out on that promise? You think you're not going up? You don't think you're seeing your Savior? You're going to see your Savior sure, then you're going to see your wife this afternoon. You're going to see her that you're going to see him that surely. You're going to see him face to face. He's coming to get his bride. He died to deliver us from this present evil world. Go to John 14. Let me give you another beautiful promise. Very familiar. John 14. We're almost there on many levels. John 14, verse 1. Look at this. Beautiful. Beautiful. These are just beautiful. Oh, just dwell on these promises in John 14. Here it is again, right? I think God wants us to get this. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Let
not your heart be troubled. He's telling his disciples that. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. This is the part of the verse I like the best. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. I'm doing like sign language with it. Unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Is there anything hard about that verse to understand? It's mostly one syllable words. That's why we love our King James Bible. It's mostly one syllable words. It's a sixth grade reading level. It's easy to understand. I saved you. I love you. I'm preparing something for you. I'm coming back to get you. So that you would be with me. Isn't that a great promise? And if Jesus Christ made a promise like this, do you think he's a liar like some of us? He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He's not pulling any punches here. He's not being cryptic here. These are some of his last words to his mourning disciples. He's telling them, I'm leaving, but he's saying, don't worry, I'm coming back. Look, the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he not spoken, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God's going to make good on that promise. God's got some guaranteed delivery coming for his church. And if you go to John 10, let me show you how we just circle the wagons right back to the beginning. John 10, verse number 3, look what Jesus says. Now think about the parallel. We saw it for Israel. Let's think about it for us. Because like the Lord led Israel out, the Lord will lead us out of this present evil world. Not just Egypt, which is a type of the world, but out of the whole present evil world. You and I are going to get out of here someday, very soon. John 10, verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Can I tell you, just like Israel, our backs are against the wall, aren't they? We got fear as the evil seems to increase all around us. It looks like Pharaoh is in hot pursuit again as he tries to impose his wicked will on the world. It just looks, for some people, like the walls are closing in on us. It looks like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Can I tell you, Christian, don't despair. Don't despair. God's guaranteed delivery is right on schedule. You know what's going to happen, Revelation 4? That door is going to open. And that one who has the way to open the door is going to come, and he's going to lead us out. You know what he's going to do? Verse 3, it says, verse 4, let me read verse 4 actually. 4 says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know what? In the Old Testament, he parted the waters. You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen, right? Jesus Christ is going to part the waters up there. Because there's some waters that be above the heavens. And he's going to part the waters up there. You know what he's going to do? He's going to lead his people out just like he promised. You know what he's going to do? One day, the world's going to hear thunder. They're going to hear a thunderclap. You know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear a voice in your ear. It's going to say, Danny, come up hither. Helen, come up hither. And we're going to hear that voice. He's going to call his own sheep by name. You know what he's going to do? He's going to put them forth in the clouds. Right? One at a time. He's going to, well, collective, he's going to put us up there. And then we're all gathered up there. He's going to say, okay, guys, let's go. And boom, they're going to split. And you're going to go right through the waters, right through the rivers. And just like they walked through the Red Sea, you're going to walk through that sea up there. And you're going to pass through the flood. And you're going to sit there and be in the presence of God. Safe, safe, safe forevermore. He's going to lead you out right through the flood. Just like he led Israel out through the flood, he's going to lead you out through the flood. Brethren, count on it. Lean on it. Believe it. It's coming. It's guaranteed. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ah, that's God's guarantee. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be better? God says, if you've had any good times down here, you've never experienced anything like I've got for you up there. If looking at the wife of your, the face of your wife, the wife of your face, the face of your wife, If that, you know, I see her, it just like lifts my spirits. It just brings me infinite joy. I love her more than the day we got married. I just see her and it's like rocks my world. Sometimes I sit there, I go, I can't believe she married me. I just can't believe it. And she sits there and just the beauty, I look at her, just like, wow, you know what? When you look at your Savior, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be full of joy unspeakable and full of glory. And all those promises are going to have come true. And when you hear that voice, can you imagine hearing that voice? Maybe we'll be standing on the corner of 34 and Lloyd. Maybe we'll be sitting here one day. And boom, the world hears a boom, and you hear a blessing. You hear, and we're going to look at each other and say, the voice of my beloved. Lo, it's the voice of my beloved. And he's coming leaping on the hills, and he's going to open up that door. He's going to say, let me get all my sheep. Let me put them all right here. And he's going to gather us there. And he says, when we've gathered up there, come on, guys. Let's go. Let's go. We're getting out of here. It's guaranteed. Now, Amazon Prime, they guarantee two-day shipping, but my goodness, how many times do those deliveries fail to arrive? Jeff Bezos uses a very different kind of math, because I've ordered things, they say I'll be here in 2 days, and a week later, it's like, oh yes, that's 2 days. I don't know how they do the math, Amazon, but they don't come through on their promise. But God has got guaranteed delivery. And if that's true, what's left for us to do? Do we just sit here like, in the bunker with the bottled water and the powdered food? Just come and get me, Jesus. I'm already. No, that's not what we do. Verse 5 says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Listen, when I ship something with FedEx, I had to do that the other day. You know what I have to do? I got to follow their instructions to guarantee my delivery. And Jesus says right there in John 10:5 that you've got to follow the Lord's voice. You've got to follow the Lord's instructions to guarantee delivery. Does that make sense? Because Jesus Christ is God's delivery man. He's the only one who can lead you out. He's the only one who's the ark of salvation. He is the shepherd for whom the porter opens doors. You could bang all you want. You know who he's opened the door for? Jesus Christ. One day he's opening the door, he's coming to get us. You know who's getting us in? Him. It's always been him. So you better be following what he say. One last verse, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. Let's end here. Matthew chapter 7. Thank you for your kind attention. Matthew chapter 7. I'm challenging you, one, to be encouraged that when it looks darkest, the dawn is about to rise. And all you got to keep, it's so simple. All you got to keep doing is trust in that book as you understand it. You don't have to understand the things you don't understand, right? If you don't understand something, that's fine. But when God reveals something to you, follow it. Amen. Follow the light. You're reading your Bible one day, God gives you some light. Follow it. Obey it. You're doing something, the Lord brings a verse into your mind. Ooh. Follow it. Obey it. And if you could exercise that muscle of yielding to the Holy Spirit and yielding to the Word of God, you know what? You'll be 10 steps down the road closer to God. You won't even realize it. You just got to practice yielding. He's saying, hey, deliverance is guaranteed, but you got to follow my instructions. You got to flee from the stranger and follow the Savior. You say, Pat, you say that every week. It's not rocket science. It doesn't change. Believe the book. Stay in church. Stay on your knees. Love God, love people. It's not complicated. God's delivery is guaranteed, but you got to make sure you're following God's delivery man. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the Lord says something which doctrinally has amazing application to the house of Israel. And spiritually can have application to every house represented here today. He says in Matthew 7, 24, this is the end of his Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And watch this. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And I understand the doctrine. The doctrine is Jesus Christ has just given his nation the constitution of the kingdom. And he's saying, if you follow me, the tribulation's going to come and the floods are going to come, but you'll stand and you'll be saved. But if you go with the multitude, you'll be destroyed. On a national level, I get it. But on a personal level, I get it too. If you trust God, your house, your life, your things, your family, your walk will be spared. You'll endure, you'll overcome, you'll succeed, because God's guaranteed delivery only comes to those who do what Jesus Christ said. You can't thumb your nose at God and expect God's guaranteed delivery. You can't do it the wrong way and expect God to always right your wrongs. He may let you lie in the bed that you have made. So keep on doing the right things. Keep on following Jesus Christ, because the floods are going to come. They're going to come if you're doing right. They're going to come if you're doing wrong. The floods are going to come because we live in a present evil world. The question is, will your house stand? Will the things you've laid up for God stand? Will your walk stand? Will your testimony stand? Will it? Think about it. Consider it. God has done his part. He's given you Jesus Christ. He's given you the way. He's given you the truth. He's given you the life. The question is, will you follow his voice so you can receive God's guaranteed delivery? Will you follow his voice so you can experience God's guaranteed delivery? Did it for Israel. He'll do it for you if you trust him and obey his voice. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You know what? If you're not saved today, I don't know everybody's heart here. I know my heart a little bit. But if you're not saved today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's one thing the Spirit of God wants to say loud and clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you, today is as good a day as ever. And is anybody here that says, you know what, I've never asked Jesus Christ to save me. I'd like to do that, Pat. Here's my hand. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you're just saying to God and to me, Pat, pray for me. I'd like to take Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'd like to obey God's voice and follow him into forgiveness and salvation and all that Jesus Christ has purchased for me. If that's someone like that here today, just lift your hand up, put it right back down. And if you're a Christian here today, work problem, family problem, engagement problem, marriage problem, life problem, heart problem, any kind of situation you're in. You feel a flood rising up, don't despair. Don't throw the ship overboard. Don't give up on God. Stay the course. Take a step forward. Trust God, and he will deliver you. I don't know how, but if I could explain it, God didn't do it. But if I can't explain it, God is in it, and the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So don't despair. God's guaranteed delivery is right around the corner. Father, we thank you and we love you for the hope that you give us, Lord, in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that this life is but a vapor. And I pray, Lord, we trust you with our little dash between two dates. Pray we'd give it to you, Lord, and you'd use it for your honor, for your glory. I pray you'd comfort your people, Lord, those that are in despair, those that are worried about things. I am too, Lord. But I pray, Lord, you would give us that calm, that peace, and that quiet that comes from knowing that if we just follow your voice and trust your word, you will deliver us, Lord, in it and through it. We pray, Lord, you might show up in some believer's life today and this week. Make these things real to them, Father. Draw us closer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.